Long before the pandemic, one of the worst epidemics in the United States was opioid addiction. In 2018, the most recent year we have complete data for, more than 67,000 people died of drug overdoses, and 70% of those overdose deaths were caused by an opioid, either heroin, a prescription painkiller like OxyContin, or a synthetic opioid like fentanyl. The opioid crisis has not gone away. In fact, the pandemic has made it worse. Joining us now is Dr. Nora Volkoff, who is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Dr. Volkoff, welcome. And how has the opioid addiction crisis been affected by the coronavirus pandemic?
Well, it has been affected. Actually, we can surmise quite seriously. We know that from reports of overdoses, these may have increased 30-40%. We know also that from some of the reports from the states, that there has been increases on overdose fatalities, that there has been increases in patients relapsing that had already achieved recovery. So we are hearing these distress calls from throughout the country.
And what do you think would be the reason for that? If you're seeing in some cases a 30 to 40% increase in overdoses, why would that be happening now? Is it just people's mental state, or is it inability of those who would help people who are addicted to opioids to actually get to those people because of the pandemic, or what?
There are all of those factors, and indeed it's the multiplicity of factors that are making people addicted to opioids so vulnerable. A very important one is the stress and the uncertainty that we are all living under these conditions, the social isolation through social distancing, but also through the closing of many of the community services that are so important for people that are trying to stay away from drugs or achieve recovery. And so that isolation, that stress, is one of the factors that leads to relapse. It's one of the factors that actually make many of us start to take drugs as a means to temporarily escape that state. So it's a very important contributor. But there are other factors that are playing into it also, including the erosion of treatment programs that in the past were able to provide medications that are so necessary to protect the lives of people that are addicted to opioids. The hospitals, the emergency departments are overcrowded with COVID. So access to those services is now much harder for many of them. The stigma that has permeated addiction also makes it much less likely that people seek out help. The fact that we're very isolated now, if someone is taking opioids and they overdose, the probability that someone sees them and can give them naloxone, which is necessary to reverse the overdoses, is much less likely. The lack of jobs is another aspect that makes it even more challenging. If you're trying to achieve recovery, one of the components is that you want to integrate yourself to everyday life. And now it's much harder to get jobs.
So what is the solution to that? Because especially as we start to see these spikes in many parts of the country in terms of COVID cases, you don't really see an end in sight to the pandemic and to all of the things that we have to do as a result of the pandemic. What is the solution for people who are dealing with opioid addiction right now?
First of all, the solution, and we as a society have to provide resources and means to do it. And that is the recognition that we cannot just ignore it, that we have a pandemic that we absolutely, it's urgent that we take care of. But at the same time, we need to address the opioid epidemic because it's there and both of them are colliding. This has resulted in some changes on the way that we're able to treat patients with opioid addiction that had made it now easier to access medications through telemedicine, which in the past was not possible. So if you wanted to get buprenorphine, you had to go physically see a doctor. If you were being treated with methadone, you had to go to a methadone clinic on a daily basis. So now it is possible to take home methadone so that instead of going daily, you can take doses for 1 month. Reimbursement for telemedicine services, which is now much easier than it was before COVID, allows to provide the support because frequently they have comorbid psychiatric disorders that require attention, like depression or anxiety. And without it, they will relapse. There's also multiple applications that have emerged that provide virtual social support system. So you can get a mentor or a coach, or you can go to a group therapy through a virtual mechanism. Of course, not everybody has access to the web or a cell phone. And those are the ones that may actually require additional interventions. To the extent that all of this is very new, we do not have a sense of how effective it is. We hear from patients and family members that it is not as good as going in person. Mm-hmm. But we also see from some of the studies that in some instances that results are actually quite comparable sometimes with some of the interventions that are done face to face.
Before the pandemic, was this country starting to get a handle on the opioid crisis at all?
Well, in 2017, we felt for the first time, because there was a decrease for the first time in many years on mortality from overdoses, that we may have bent the curve. And we had seen the curve bend downwards for deaths from prescription opioids. And we have also started to see a decrease in the deaths from heroin. But around 2013-14, we started to see a very precipitous rise on deaths from synthetic opioids like fentanyl. And those have continued to rise. But in 2017, overall, all of these deaths from all of these types of opioids level off. And then, unfortunately, on 2019, the data looks like it's actually going up again. I mean, and that was before COVID. And it seems it may be going up. And this is from preliminary estimates from the CDC, 3-4%. And in 2020, we expect further increases. We had hoped that perhaps because of the closing of the borders, that it would be much harder to get drugs into our country, and that would decrease the number of people dying from these drugs. But that has not been the case, apparently. Again, and overdoses, I don't mean necessarily that they are going to be overdose fatalities, where the numbers that are being traced right now is number of overdoses. Fatalities has been harder. What the numbers are harder to come across. In some of the communities, they are not doing autopsies because of the overwhelming situation with COVID. So we don't know those numbers.
It seems like quite a conundrum, though, for a public health professional to be in a situation where we know that people isolating and staying at home is helpful for COVID. But it also seems like we know that isolating and staying at home is very unhelpful for people who are depressed or dealing with an opioid addiction.
No, indeed. And I think that we have to face the reality that this situation of isolation is particularly hard for people suffering from substance use disorders, also depression or other psychiatric disorders. Withdrawal and isolations actually just in general exacerbates the problem. The question that has always been lingering is to what extent some of those deaths that we describe as overdose deaths have actually been intentional. It is calculated that perhaps 15-30% of overdose deaths were intentional to a certain degree. I mean, that is another aspect that we're very concerned as you're speaking about social isolation, that of suicide.
Let me just finally ask you, if there is somebody listening to this who is struggling with opioid addiction right now, what would you want them to know?
I would want them to know that there is treatment and that treatment works. I mean, addiction is a very serious disorder and it can jeopardize your life. So seek help, seek treatment.
That is Dr. Nora Volkoff, who is the director of the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Dr. Volkoff, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me and for your attention to this matter.